Welcome to the Create and Grow podcast. This is Janine Ledford, your host and the creator of the groundbreaking concept of intercultural creativity, which is the intersection of creative thinking and cultural competence. So if you're looking for new, exciting ways to build a positive culture of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging that sparks creativity, this is your place. We have exciting guests in all types of fields who highlight how creative thinking best thrives in a culture of diverse collaboration. At the Create and Grow podcast, you'll discover how inclusion drives innovation. Enjoy the show. Well, today I have a wonderful, exciting guest with me today, Mr. Theo Cesar, as we sometimes say. And you are an amazing just influence in the theater world, the acting world, also the entrepreneur world. You are the head owner and head agent of 90210 Talent, which, if you can explain to our guests, what is that?
Oh, well, thank you, first of all, for the beautiful, kind words. 90210 Talent Agency is a, we're a talent agency. We represent actors, mostly, for film, television, commercial, print, and voiceover.
So if you probably see a lot of people who just are coming in, you know, they got off a bus from Ohio somewhere and they have a big dream and one suitcase.
I was one of those people.
And $20 to their name and they're coming to see you. And that's really what I wanted you on the show, because, you know, this show is about creativity and what that really means, redefining it, broadening it. But you're in the artistic world. So what does creativity mean to you?
Well, creativity means a lot of different things, because there's creative, when you talk about creative, as far as the entertainment world that I work in, we're talking about people who are writers and producers and people who have the vision for pulling together the idea for the show. But then there's a bunch of different things that you have to be creative about. There's creative marketing, there's creative finance, there's creative just ways of pulling together different resources and networking. There's, you know, creativity is tremendous in our industry. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you've got to be creative. You got to be creative in every day. I'm a salesperson, basically. A lot of people don't realize that that's what a talent agent is, first and foremost, is a salesperson. Well, we have to get creative in order to get attention for our clients. I mean, my job, first and foremost, is really just to get casting people and producers to open the door and let my clients come in and have a shot. And sometimes that takes creativity.
This is true. Because really the definition that, you know, we've been really sharing is creativity is the process of problem solving with relevance, value, and novelty. So how do you present your clients with a novel presentation so they can stand out, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, what I do is I'm normally looking for the materials that I can show. One thing I always say is I can sell what I can show. I cannot sell what I saw, right? And so it's a matter of, what have you given me that's tangible? Or what do I have that's tangible that I can present to someone else to make sure that you stand out next to the 5,000 other submissions that they've gotten for this role, you know? And what is it that I can present that makes you look any slight bit of different? Something that gives you a slight leg up. Makes you stand a little bit aside of the other guys, you know? And I mean, we use different things in different ways. Sometimes, like with me, one thing that I did that I learned to be creative that I do myself, and maybe I shouldn't be telling this, but I'm going to tell it anyway, is once I learned how to do hot links in emails, I've turned into a hot link junkie, because one thing that I know annoys people is when you clog up their email with a bunch of attachments. So you've got reels and videos, and this video is a couple of gigabytes, or, you know, but it'll clog up somebody's email. So if I can learn how to create hot links and make it a downloadable link rather than an actual attachment to the email, that right there puts me in a little bit of a better class than the last agent or manager who sent an actual attachment and is clogging up this person's email.
See, yeah. So it's just that those small little things that really small make a difference.
Using BCC instead of CC. It annoys people when you send an email to 100 people and they can all see each other's email address.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
when you send a blanket email and you don't address any one person in particular, but we can tell that you've emailed 50 different people. Those little things are kind of, to me, it's psychological warfare. You know, sales are all psychological. And if I can make you kind of smile or put you at ease, then I've put myself in a slightly better position than the next guy.
I often tell people that my major was in psychology, and I felt that that was the most useful major ever, because it was hard to find a job with just a BA in psychology. But if you understand how the mind works mm-hmm. and the psychological aspect, like you could... Yeah, basically rule the world. definitely rule your world and get the things that you need to get done. And so I don't think we put enough emphasis at. But yeah, salesmen, you have to be aware of that psychological.
I learned that selling cars, because when I was selling cars many, many moons ago, I was taught that there were four hot buttons that make people buy.
Which are?
there were reasons that why people buy, and the four types of buyers are this. You've got people who buy because of the look of something, mm-hmm. the look of the feel. They want the flashy, they want the new, they want whatever, right? You've got people who buy for actual safety and utility. The parents that are buying for their child to go off to college, the person who is about to have a baby and they want to, you know, they're starting their family. Then you've got the people who will buy for the payment. I don't care how much you charge me for the car, so long as I'm only paying $250 a month. That's, you know, and then you've got the price shopper. I don't care if you give me a $250 payment per month. I'm not paying more than $10,000 for this car. Plain and simple, you know? So those are the hot buttons. And you've got to, just from talking to somebody, you have to learn how to identify their hot buttons. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what a car salesman is doing once you step on a lot. And they're talking to you and they're making you feel like they're your friend, but they're really qualifying you.
And my dad actually sold cars. And I've even read before that sometimes it's better to do that or just to jump into entrepreneurship as opposed to getting your MBA, because the amount of experience you get and the lessons you learn actually on the floor mm-hmm. is almost better than a $200,000 degree.
Let me tell you something.
MBA degree.
I am the agent that I am today because of cars.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So with your experience, because now that you've owned your own theater agency company, mm-hmm. I bet you have some interesting stories of just what the people have come to you and just the creative placements you've had and how your different actors... You know, just some really understand the art, mm-hmm. you know, and some are just probably green. And yeah. Do you have any just creative synopsis?
Well, I think one of the things that's most important, other than the art aspect of it, the most successful actors understand that this is a business. You know, this is not just about being the best actor. It's about being the most viable commodity mm-hmm. that you can be. And sometimes you have to get creative to show people that you can be that. Like, say, for instance, I had one thing that I will never forget, and this probably happened 4 or 5 years ago, but I never forget it. Somebody asked me what was one thing that stuck out to me about an actor reaching out to me. This woman sat down and wrote me a letter. She wrote me a 2-page letter. Her penmanship was beautiful. And nobody picks up a pen and writes a letter anymore. Mm-hmm. And it stuck out to me. And I still have this letter. We've stopped working together years ago. But I have never forgotten her. Every time I tell this story, I know her name. I know her face. And I've got stories about her. But the fact that she was creative enough to sit down and do something that's considered to be old school. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be that you've got to create something new. Mm-hmm. You've got to just create something that stands out. Something that sets you aside. You know, and put you apart from the rest. So I think that those kind of situations are, to me, what I love to, the memories that stick out. It's what I love to see when people are creative in how they approach you. You know, I've had so many people do, so many actors do creative things. And it's great if you've got the follow-up behind it. Because you'll have somebody do something. Like this young lady, she was also a great actress. once she did that creative thing that grabbed my attention, then the work spoke for itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it did what it was supposed to do. But if you don't have that follow-up behind it, you know, you got this creative idea to get my attention, well, you better have something behind that, you know, afterwards, you know.
How to do the work.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I also wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to change is the definition of creativity. With you working with creatives, what is your thought of what that word means and just how we're now applying it to, like, the plumber and, you know, just helping other non-artists feel that they are too creative?
Well, here's one thing that's awesome about, I'm glad you brought up a plumber, because here's something that I think is super creative. There's a plumber that's out right now that's the Smell Good Plumber. It's phenomenal because of the fact that it makes you think, it puts you in a mindset to where you feel like this person is classier than just some average plumber who's gonna, because people think of, what do you think of plumber when you think of plumber? You think of plumber butt.
And the butt.
You think of plumber butt, right? But if you think of a Smell Good Plumber, you're like, I bet you there's no plumber butt there. You know what I'm saying? It again, it's psychological warfare. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. It's a matter of being creative and leading somebody's thoughts where you want them to go.
Yes.
You know, we have such power in our words, in our creativity. We have to learn how to use it to write a narrative. And that's what it is. And people need to understand that it's about creating a narrative. It's about, like, leaving a trail of breadcrumbs to the place that you want to take these people. You know, you can tell the same story over and over. You know, they say in Hollywood there's only 7 stories,
yes.
You know, but each person has to decide a different way to tell the story. Like, my wife and I, we sat down and watched 3 movies the other day. No, I'm just going to talk about 2. And it's basically the same movie. It's The Silence on Netflix, and A Quiet Place, right? They're basically the same movie. These creatures that are blind, they can't smell, their only sense is hearing. So you have to be silent. But they're 2 totally different movies. And they came out a year apart. They came out a year apart. They're telling a similar story, but they both have a different perspective too. And it's about a family. They're both about a family, and they have kids. And, you know, how do you get to the end? And we watched them back to back and enjoyed both of them because of the difference in the perspective. And that's creativity.
So they're 2 completely different works. They weren't meant to be connected at all.
Not at all.
But you guys saw the connection.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. The connection is extremely obvious. It's very plain.
Okay.
You know, it's straight up there. But it's the creativity of how they told the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way they told the story. And so that's the thing about creativity is that, you know, they say there's nothing new under the sun. I don't believe that. You know, the basics might be the same. It's just like everything that we go through, everything that we deal with, everything that's on the news is still in the Bible. It all started, you know, it's all in the Bible. However, there's the different circumstance of how it unfolds,
yes.
How the story unfolds. Well, how do you learn the lesson? How do you set up the point that you're looking to get across? And that's where the creativity, I feel, comes
in. And the recombination of, almost like the elements, right? There's
right.
only, what, 92 elements, but it's the recombination of these that produce different products and different things, and that's amazing. And you said a few things that I wanted to just expand upon. Number one, the internal pain points, kind of like the plumber point, just the pain point of when I bring over a plumber, I don't want those issues, even though my problem is the sink. My internal pain points are I don't want to smelly man with his butt out. And yeah, just being mindful of what pain point are you solving in addition to the obvious point. And I think, that was a great, great point. But you talked about the power of your words and you taking people on a story. Mm-hmm. One of my research points and one of my big messages is that, yes, there are tons of people who don't think they're creative because they're not in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we should help fix that. Everyone is creative, no matter what your level of artistic excellence is. But I'm an advocate of saying the arts could be a big component in helping you increase your creativity in non-artist fields. Does that make sense? So you being mostly in acting, I don't know what your level is in singing and dancing. You have a great voice though, by the way.
Thank you.
But you being a seasoned actor, very well, you've been working for decades now. How has your acting ability and your excellence in theater helped you in non-artist areas?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not an actor anymore. I haven't been.
Always an actor.
You know, but see, that was the point I was going to make.
Okay.
Is that I feel like I'm always acting. Mm-hmm. One thing I always tell people is, you know, even though I haven't been acting in quite a few years, I'm acting every day as the head of this agency. This is my series regular role, you know. So I find that's translated to me where there's been times where I've had to act like I like something I don't like or act like I'm not offended by something that offended me or act like I don't understand something that I clearly understand what you're talking about. I read through the lines of what you're saying. And I think that how is my creativity? It's, you know, with me, I've always been a creative person. I've always been the type to make up songs. I'm a freestyler. And still to this day, me and my wife and I, we make up songs about anything all the time. I make up songs about washing dishes, going to the bank. But these are things that have always been memory points for me. If I wanted to remember something and I had trouble remembering things in school, I would make up songs about them. You know, and that, to me, was a creative way of learning and a memory trick. It's like tricking my brain into memory. If you had given me my whole curriculum in school in rap, oh man, I would have graduated summa cum laude. You know, I would have stayed in school forever. I'd probably be a student to this day. But I had to create my own little raps and my own little songs and those kind of things. But I'm trying to think of ways that it specifically, I was able to use it for things that were non-creative. I mean, you know, non-entertainment.
Well, because you already answered the question, because that was perfect.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I taught music for years in the elementary classroom, and I love that you said that, because I would teach concepts through song. Because my thesis was the brain, in you have multiple encoders of information when you attach it to melody. That's why music is so powerful. That's why people need to be careful of, you know, just the lyrics of what you're singing, because your subconscious is full working then.
Yep.
So, but my wowness with you is the fact that you found this out on your own. Like, as a teacher, I did it with my kids. And I even had a student come back to me. They were in middle school now or high school. It's like, yeah, I knew all my seven continents and the other kids didn't know them, but I just sang the song you taught us, you know?
Right.
And yes, because you're encoding the information on multiple tags as opposed to just memorizing it straight. And I just think that is a testament to your personality of trying to figure out what works for you. And a lot of kids or a lot of people don't have that drive to say, okay, well, what works for me and let me implement it. So that's great. And that's a great example from your childhood, and you probably employ it now. Correct?
I sure do.
Another thing is, someone said, or I read somewhere about the rest face. Do you know people who, like, when they're just thinking, they look really mean, but they're not thinking mean or being mean. They're just, they're like, you don't want to walk up to them. Are you aware of your facial expressions and other people's facial expressions? Like, can you read people very well because of your artistic training?
I think I do read people very well. I've always been, you know, when I was younger, I didn't use this in the most positive ways, but I learned pretty early on that I was very manipulative and I'm very influential, and it's because of reading people. And I learned later on in life to use that for positive ways, to be insightful with people instead of being manipulative. And, you know, to use that to help people to open up and talk, to assess different things that we can, you know, find solutions for stuff that could be bothering them. But yes, definitely, because one of the best things about acting is silence.
That's good.
Some of the best actors, they're not talking. Some of the best scenes you've ever seen in your life. You know what? There's a movie called A Simple Favor. Stars Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively. I always thought Anna Kendrick was a good actress. She's okay. from Pitch Perfect. After I saw A Simple Favor, I love Anna Kendrick. And it's all because of a scene where she said nothing. There's a scene, she's standing at a funeral. She has this facial expression on. And then she turns and she's, you know, she's like looking all sad and everything. She turns and she looks at somebody that she sees there and her face says everything. It automatically changes and just, and it's so strong and powerful in her silence. Mm. And I saw this scene and I rewound it and rewound it and rewound it because I was like, this girl's amazing. And it's that silence. Yeah. And I feel that we express more, like my wife has one of the most expressive faces you've ever seen. And we make this joke because a lot of times she thinks that she's just sitting here looking at you with a blank face. Uh-huh. But I'm telling her, girl, you like this. What?
Oh. Like, your face can't see his face, but very expressive.
Yeah, I'm like, your face is telling it all, uh-huh. You know? And that, I feel like even when people are just in thought and kind of off in their own to them, the eyes are still dancing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The eyes, it's almost like you can see the brain moving mm-hmm. through their eyes, you know? And so I think that that's something that we need to pay attention to.
I love the fact that you're saying that because, you know, I'm going telling people, yes, you want to do well in business, you want to do well in life, in your profession, and you want to be the one, you know, getting that promotion and stuff. And you have to pay attention to this stuff. And the arts can give you this skill. And the great example that I saw was someone said, watch Friends. Like, you gave a great example with your story, but just turn off the sound. Yep. And because actors are trained to, you know, we have like four different emotions, you know, happy, sad, angry, or whatever, bored. Like, my son is two, and he knows happy, sad, you know, and maybe mm-hmm. angry. But actors, like, you could see what's going on in the whole scene without any sound because they are trained to give you that, you know, what does it look to be sly? What does it look like to be forlorn, you know, like, who mm-hmm. even knows what that definition is, forlorn, you know, but you guys have that skill. And the people who are higher in emotional intelligence could have that skill.
We were trained in, I went to LaGuardia High School, Performing Arts in New York. And in ninth grade, I'll never forget, I had the same teacher that Jennifer Aniston had, Mr. Useem. He's still there. And in ninth grade, we had to study these things called etudes. And they were really like short. They would give you a situation, mm-hmm. a circumstance. So he would give you and I a circumstance. And we had to achieve the goal, the end goal, within 2 minutes in silence. We could not talk to each other. So, yeah.
Like, what's an example of a circumstance?
Well, for instance, me and, I'll never forget it, Gerard McCarthy and I, we were put in a scene together where we had to, Gerard had to convince me to sneak into my parents' liquor cabinet and take a shot while I was watching out for them to come, and then we switched, and he had to take a shot while we were watching out for them to come. And he was afraid to do it. And so I had to like force him and you know, and all of this we had to do within 2 to 3 minutes and it had to be done in silence.
Interesting.
And it was just, it's really just problem solving. Just like you said in the beginning, it's really about problem solving and achieving this task. But it was, you have to be creative. And how do I, we didn't have a liquor cabinet. We didn't have bottles. We had no props. Mm-hmm. No props whatsoever. So we had to, we didn't have a door to look down the hallway. We had to create the whole space. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's one of the biggest things about acting is you have to create so much stuff with nothing being there. You know, when you go on an audition, they don't want you to come in there with props. Mm. If you're a gunman and you're holding up the bank or something like that, you can't walk into an audition room with a fake gun. And nobody wants to see your fingers either. Okay. You know? Because nobody's holding your two fingers out to be a gun. You're supposed to be holding the trigger.
Yeah.
So you have to create those spaces and you have to create the vision. I have to make you see what's in my hand if I'm holding a gun at you. I have to make you see this gun. I have to believe that it's there. You have to see it in my eyes, mm-hmm. that I believe it's there and that I will shoot you if you don't do what I want you to do, you have to believe it. And that starts right here in my face. It starts with me believing.
Yeah, it starts with you believing. And that goes back. Oh, there's so much there. And that goes back to, yeah, the mindset. And the creativity happens in your mind first. And then it comes out in between spaces and communicates. Oh, that's, yeah, that's really
It's good. Like, if with me, one of the things that, like with my clients, and when I go to pitch somebody for something, for a specific project or something, I'm not I don't like to lie, right? So I have to believe it first. Mm-hmm. And if I can believe it, then I can make you believe it. I can make you at least see where I'm coming from. You know, I may not totally be able to, I may not be able to change your mind. If you just don't believe me or you don't agree with me, you don't agree with me. Fine. But if I believe it, I can show you why I believe it. Mm-hmm. And I can show you, you know, to the point where hopefully you can believe it too, or at least you can get an idea of why I believe what I believe.
Yeah, that's good. And that translates so much in business because, once again, as I really developed my Diamond of Success model, looking at the importance of communication, which involves persuasion and influence, right? And so that's connected to what you just said, your ability to persuade, to negotiate. Mm-hmm. And to effectively communicate, it all starts with, do you even believe what you're saying?
Right, right.
Yeah, that's good. And yeah, so I just really am so glad you're able to come on the show, really just talk about creativity from the artistic point, but from the entrepreneurial point, because all the tips you talked about can transfer over into the boardroom, which you've probably done on plenty of occasions.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I'm really communicating the idea that creativity is such an integral part in your world and the actor's world. Do you have just any, you know, any tips for creatives, the old version of creatives, any tips for artists who just need to see themselves as an entrepreneur? You know, really, what should they be starting doing in different phases of their career? That beginning phase, you know, and then that mid phase.
Well, I think that one, you should understand that you are the business. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. We are our own business. Mm-hmm. We are the vehicle that the company doesn't start with when you start putting it on paper. It starts inside of you. And whatever it is you're building, whatever you're creating, even if you don't work for the company, I mean, if you work for a company and it's not your company, mm-hmm. the position that you play within that company, it all begins with you. It's the strength of what you do. It's taking ownership. It's taking responsibility. It's taking pride. You know, one of the best things that I ever read in the Bible is that when you work as if you're working for God, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that changed things for me as when it came to my business. And just having that pride in everything that you do, being unafraid. It's just like we were talking about with children. Children aren't afraid. They're not afraid that they're going to fall off that slide. They're not afraid when they fell off that slide. They get back up and they go slide again. You know, and successful people fail more than anybody because they keep going back. Mm-hmm. Oh, that didn't work. All right, let me try this thing. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try this thing. And also, don't listen to people who are not above you. If they have not, everybody can tell you how to do it, but they never did it. You know, so if you haven't done anything, don't tell me how to do it. Don't tell me just because you read that so-and-so said in some magazine, because quite frankly, what's in that magazine is probably what the publisher wanted in order to sell more copies of that interview. Mm-hmm. But you have to read between the lines. You have to look past the surface. You got to dig deeper mm-hmm. because when you're given an idea, you're not the only person that's given that idea. It's just a matter of how do we both use it? Which one of us is going to be better at bringing this particular idea to fruition? But then also, just because you want to do something doesn't necessarily mean that's what you're meant to do. You've got to find your strengths. You've got to find those things that you love. Like, for instance, I used to do voiceovers. When I was growing up and I used to hear myself recorded, I hated my voice.
You have such a powerful voice.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. At the time, as a kid, you know, I thought my voice was horrible. And then here I was years later making money by just talking to people, you know. But it's that kind of thing. You have to be open. You have to be open-minded. You have to just try the different things. Try Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid.
And let's look at that really quick, just because I need to you to really expound upon that point of the risk. Because I find so many people who are afraid, mm-hmm. whether they're in the arts or not, and they have either great ideas. And I always say that sometimes I think artists and people who go out to auditions, like this is a part of your world, this is what you guys do, they have an edge because they're used to bouncing back from no, whereas someone in like accounting or, you know, like other types of professions, we don't get doors slammed in our face on a regular, yeah.
But we do. We actually do. We just don't look at them as the same.
So what,
you know, because here's the thing. When you wanted to join the basketball team in high school and you weren't good enough, you bounced back from that. You went somewhere else.
Happened.
Oh, well, you know what I'm saying? But you bounced back from that and you found your strength in someplace else.
Track and field.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it doesn't mean you're not athletic. That just means this isn't your particular thing. You know what I mean? But you have to go and knock on a bunch of doors until you find out what's the door for you.
So reframe the door concept.
Reframe the door. Find out what's your thing. There's plenty of people there's a lot of people who think they want to be actors until they keep facing that rejection. And then they find out that they're better at, like me personally, I was always a good actor, right? But I'm a great agent because I love it. Acting was something I kind of always was good at. It just kind of, you know, and I don't mean to say this in any kind of cocky way or anything like that, but I was just kind of good at it and I trained in it. I got the concept, but it wasn't my passion. It didn't wake me up smiling every day. I wake up happy to go to work, you know, because I enjoy what I do. Is a passion. Is that I get to help these people figure out their lives. I get to help people get their first credit. I get to help people, you know, and things in that way. But I don't have to go to the gym all the time. And I can eat what I want to eat. And I can dress how I want to dress. And I might be sitting around my house in my pajamas, but I sound like I've got on a 3-piece suit. And so there's the thing that I found that worked for me, because I always thought that I was supposed to be the guy in front of the camera or the guy on the stage. And come to find out, I'm much more fulfilled being the battery, being the guy that's behind the scenes, being the guy that's helping these other people to springboard and get up. And I've been way more successful, both financially in any other kind of way you would measure it, doing that than I ever have as an artist, which is where I thought my passion was.
And that's going back to the example you did, or you gave with your childhood experience of finding what worked for you as far as learning content. I think people really need to get that, of really taking time to introspect and to see what's working for me or what is my thing.
Right.
I don't think we stop and really ask ourselves those questions.
But we also got to look at what we're great at and what we excel in as opposed to what we want. Because what happens a lot of times, we chase what we want, but what we want isn't necessarily always what we need. Mm-hmm. What we want to do isn't always what we're best at doing. You know, I wanted to be a rapper. If I had my druthers, I would be Lil Wayne right now. But that means I would also probably be a drug addict or in jail or dead or, you know, or something like that. When, as life had it, as God had it, he was like, no, that's not what I made you for. I made you to do this thing. And I've always excelled when it came to business. I've always been good when it comes to math. I've always, you know, and I didn't think about these things growing up as being strengths. I've always been great at talking to people, teaching people. Like, for instance, you know this, as being a teacher, you can't teach everyone the same way. You can't blanket teach people. Well, at my agency, I have to teach people that I bring in as far as my staff is concerned. I'm a mom and pop shop, you know? And so every single person that I bring in, I have to teach. I have to train. Well, not all these people work the same. I have employees from 20-something years old up to people in their 70s, you know? And so not everybody's computer literate. Not everybody, but I have to get them up to a speed to where we can all roll together. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like with my agency, we all have to move as one body. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're the best. So even if there's 8 or 10 or 15 of us, we should move as one person. as one unit would. So if you ask Theo something, you're going to get the same exact answer if you ask Rose. You're going to, you know, mm-hmm. and if you ask Ray, you're going to get the same exact thing as if you ask Avi. You know, we all should be a one. Well, it takes having patience. It takes having time and assessing, listening, because people will always tell you what they want. They will tell you what they need. They will tell you, you know, how to get what you need or what you're seeking to get from them if you listen.
That's good. Yes. So I hope you've been listening to just great wisdom from the other side of the camera, from the behind the camera. So you've seen these wonderful actors and actresses that says your wife, you're the guy. Pulling the string.
Helping.
Putting folks where they need to be. So thank you so much again for coming in. If people wanted to check out your work or find you online, where could they find you?
90210talent.com. And it's Theo Caesar. Caesar is C-A-E-S-A-R, like the salad. Like Julius.
Julius Caesar. Wonderful. So Theo, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And we hope that you live your best creative life, because don't forget, your creative health affects your financial wealth. See you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining us at the Create and Grow podcast. We hope that you obtain some amazing gems and are able to see how you are creative and how we are more creative when we work well together. If you wish to learn more about our organizational training programs and professional development for companies, organizations, schools, and districts, visit cafestrategies.com. That's C-A-F-F-E strategies.com, where we have amazing keynote speakers and certified facilitators on board to help your organization learn how to build a climate of inclusion and innovation. We have groundbreaking book titles in our online bookstore that lay out the 7 gems of intercultural creativity, as well as our children's books that inspire the innate creative ability of our little ones. We thank you again for joining us and remind you to shine bright like a diamond. See you next time.